I want to see how God reveals his people as he's revealing himself and his work in the world throughout the history of the world, moving toward the end of the world. The book of Revelation covers it all, reveals God, but also reveals God's work. But maybe you didn't realize it. It also reveals God's people. God's people are revealed in the book of Revelation. So we're going to look at chapter 7. It's up on the screen there. Wow, I made that really small. I don't know why I did that, but I'll read it for you. Verse number 9 through verse 17. Hopefully you have a Bible or your iPhone or whatever, smartphone, so you can look it up and read it where it's a little easier to read than what it appears on the screen. But in Revelation chapter 7, we're reading these precious words that God gave us this morning, verse 9 through verse 17 of this chapter. John the Revelator, John the one who's receiving the revelation, said, "After this I looked, and behold," which today would be check it out, you know, it's like look at this, pay attention. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne," right there, standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb. And we know the Lamb is Jesus, and he's depicted as a lamb because he sacrificed his life for us on the cross. So these people from every nation, tribe, people, and language are standing before the throne of God, before the Lamb, and they are clothed in white robes. They're styling. They've got some beautiful attire, clothed in white robes, and they have palm branches in their hands, much like that Palm Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem. And they have palm branches in their hands, and they're crying out with a loud voice, which lets me know I have permission to be loud in my worship. Amen? I have permission to be loud in my praise to God. They're crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." What a powerful statement, because there's nothing greater than salvation. And salvation is God's and the Lamb's. That's where salvation comes from. We can't save ourselves. Our denominations, our religions, our philosophies, none of those things can save ourselves. Salvation belongs to God, amen, and to the Lamb. And they were crying out, "Salvation belongs to you, God. You, the one who sits on the throne, you, the Lamb. Salvation is from you. It's for us, and we're giving you praise for it." And then it says, "And all the angels were standing around the throne." Now, I thank God for angels. And angels are revealed in the book of Revelation and other parts of the Bible. But I want you to see that the people are in the same place where the angels are. They're in the same place where God is, where Jesus is. But it says, "And all the angels were standing around the throne." Well, what does it say about the people? That they're standing before the throne. So there's a mixture of all God's creation, celestial, earthly, heavenly, all of the people, all of the angels, the beings. It says, "And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures." And if you don't know the identity of those, you have to go back earlier into Revelation. But suffice it to say right now that all of these creatures of God, all of these beings of God, it says they fell on their faces before the throne. And they worshiped God. And that's the right response. If you know God, you're going to worship God. I guarantee you, the more you get to know him, the more you're going to want to worship him. The more you're just going to say, "You're amazing. Not just your power, but your love, your wisdom, your eternality. Everything about you is worthy, worthy, worthy of worship." So they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." You can say that word. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these?" This is where we come to this title of the message, the revelation of the people of God. Who are these people? And that's what the elder comes to John to say. Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come? And he said to him, sir, you know. And that was like saying, I don't know, but you do. Sir, you know. So he's saying, I don't have a clue, so you need to tell me. And then he responds, the elder, and he says, and he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Just real quick, we got to cover a little bit of ground just for some technicalities, and then we'll get to the heart of the message this morning. It says the great tribulation. The reality is the Bible talks about tribulation from the time that Jesus came to the time that Jesus comes back, that there will be tribulation. Jesus said to his followers 2,000 years ago, in this world you will have tribulation. So there's tribulation all throughout the Christian experience. From start to finish, there's going to be experiences of rejection, of deprivation, of out-and-out persecution. There's going to be a price to pay to follow Jesus. He let us know that. He said, if they persecuted me and you follow me, they'll persecute you. If they hated me, they will hate you as well. It is a part of following Jesus, and Jesus made sure that we understood that. He didn't hide it from us. He let us know. But it's a reference to the great tribulation. And so if you read the whole of the Bible, particularly the book of Revelation, you see that there are periods of tribulation, and that's what's referred to as the great tribulation, is that time period at the end of time when it gets the toughest for the people of God. We also have noticed that even when it's tough for the people of God, they're experiencing victory, not only in their personal lives, by growing in the grace of God and enduring to the end and being pure before God no matter what the challenge is before them. But we learn that their message spreads. Even during persecution, it says a great multitude that no one could count. It's not like in the end when it gets rough, there's only a few people left. Yes, there'll be a falling away, but there's also a great end gathering. There's a strengthening of the church that goes on. You say, I don't know how that works. Well, study history. You don't even have to speculate about the future, although the Bible's clear about the future. But go back to the first 300 years of Christianity. Some of the greatest tribulations that the church has ever known. And what did the church do? It grew numerically and geographically. It expanded all over the world until about 300 years into it, Rome waved the white flag themselves, so to speak, and they said, if you can't beat them, join them. And Constantine said, let's make this the official religion of the Roman Empire. It was amazing what happened. And that turned into some things that they had to navigate through, this whole state enterprise and mixing that with the church and all. And that was a challenge going forward. But the point is that the church was victorious during a time of persecution, during the time of tribulation. Isn't that awesome? How many of you have heard of the catacombs? How many of you have seen pictures of all the skulls that are there in the catacombs? These people paid with their lives. They were persecuted, and yet, look at the glory that happened at that time. And so they're going through the great tribulation, but then it says they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now we know that the only way for us to be clean is through the shedding of Jesus' blood. Why? Because when Jesus shed his blood, he was pouring out his life for us as a sacrifice, because we can never get ourselves holy. We can never get ourselves righteous. So the only way we could stand before God is for Jesus to stand up and to say, I'm righteous, I'm holy, I'll become human for you, so I'll pay the price that humans are supposed to pay, and I'll do it the right way. And then when we place our faith in Jesus, he gives us robes that are white. Isn't that awesome? He gives us clean robes to wear, so we're ready for the banquet in heaven. We're ready to go to the purest place that you can imagine. which is heaven, the holy residence of God. We can be there. Why? Because our clothes are right? Because our righteous deeds? No, because Jesus clothes us, amen? And he makes us white. But there's also that experience. These people that are following Jesus are also shedding their blood. So there's the shedding of blood for us, but then the response of, when necessary, shedding our blood for Jesus. And so these people are not just receiving what Jesus has done for them, but they're laying down their lives for Jesus. They're going through tribulation. They're going through a great tribulation. And so look at how Jesus responds to these people. You talk about a revelation of the people of God. Look at how Jesus responds to these people. He identifies them as the ones who have come out of the great tribulation, who have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And then here's what Jesus says about them. Therefore, I don't know what verse it is. There it is right here. Therefore, that's easier, right? A little small, but still easier. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. The people whose robe, they came through the tribulation. They stood the test. They endured to the end. They didn't trust in the Roman Empire. They trusted in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who laid down his life for them. They knew that Jesus was better than the emperor and anything the emperor could give to them. So as a result of laying down their lives and being cleansed by the blood of Jesus and worshiping him, by even being persecuted for him, what happens to them? Therefore, they are before the throne of God. Wow. They serve him day and night in his temple. They're there ministering to the Lord, worshiping him, serving him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. We sang it this morning. Here in your presence, we are undone. Here in your presence, heaven and earth become one. All fears, amen, are go away here in your presence. Look at what it says here. In the presence of God, they'll be sheltered. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. I want to add that they won't be bothered by high humidity. Amen. They won't suffer under the blazing sun and under the humidity that comes. It says they'll hunger no more. They'll thirst no more. They won't have to worry about where they're going to be fed or where they're going to get something to drink. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. It's saying they were persecuted. They suffered, but they won't suffer anymore. Everything will be provided for them. And then it says, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. They won't ever have to cry again. Never will they have sadness, loneliness that will take over their lives, fear that will take over their lives. And it's all a result of being in the presence of God, before the throne of God, serving him day and night, being with him who is on the throne. And that's why we hunger no more. That's why we thirst no more. That's why the sun doesn't strike us or any scorching heat. That's why that we'll have the shepherd Jesus guiding us to springs of living water and wiping every tear from our eyes. The revelation of the people of God. What I hear in these words, to me, I've told you this numerous times in this study. I've seen revelation in a different light than I ever saw it before. Now more than ever before, I see the book of Revelation as a love story. As God loving his people in their suffering, in their persecution, encouraging them, giving them promises, giving them rewards that are not temporary but eternal, making sure that they make it through, giving them the Holy Spirit, the grace that they need. And when they rely upon God and his grace, and they're able to stand firm to the end, somebody says, come hell or high water, no matter what happens to them, they hold on to Jesus, God says, this is how you're going to be rewarded. This is how I'm going to take care of you forever. You that were the tail are now the head. You that were left out are now going to be at the front of the line. You that were humiliated are now going to be exalted. The world that thought so lowly of you is now going to see you exalted. Those that lived in luxury because of their oppressive and greedy power and all of the things of this life, they are going to mourn. You are going to laugh. Every tear is going to be wiped away from your eye. This is not just the promise of Revelation. This is the promise of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount and all throughout the New Testament. These are the teachings of Paul by the Holy Spirit. This is a way of us understanding what God thinks about his go-to guys and his go-to girls. Those guys and girls, those men and women who stand for Jesus, here's what Jesus thinks about them. Here's the way Jesus responds to them. He sees them through in this life, and he gets them to the next in great power and great glory and fills them with his joy. Can you say amen? I want to look at this picture that we see here. This is out of the catacombs. That's a picture on the wall of the catacombs. And I don't know how well you can see it from where you're seated. But what's interesting that happened to Christianity after it became mixed with politics and power and all those things, people started to have a different picture of the people of God. When they drew them, their feet were often off the ground, or at least up on their tippy toes, when they drew them, there were halos around their head, and they looked other than human. But the earliest pictures of the people of God that we can see back here in the catacombs, colored on the walls, these people's feet, those who have them, because some of them have faded away, at least the picture of them, but the ones where we can still see their feet in the picture, their feet are planted firmly on the ground. These are people who are not living in some la-la land. They're real people like you and me. They're human beings with human issues, human struggles, human hopes and fears and joys and pains. They're human. You could look at them, and if you could see this up close, you could see that their facial expressions are not something out of another planet or some other expanse of the sky. They're human expressions. There's a man and a woman holding a child, and then a mixture of ages over here among the three, and they're just, they look normal. They look like you and me. They're regular people. When I read the book of Revelation, sometimes I read it in the abstract. And then I'm caused to remember that the more I study, the more I read it over and over again, this was a book written to people in the first century who were, for them, their Antichrist, their false prophet, their beast, if you know some of the images of the book of Revelation, was the great power of the Roman Empire. All of that great and mighty power, the most ferocious empire in human history. And it counted these people their enemies. They counted these believers in Jesus enemies. And they weren't persecuted because they worshiped Jesus. In Rome, you could worship whoever you wanted to worship. It was as pluralistic as the culture is becoming today in the United States of America and in many parts of the world. It doesn't matter what you worship. If you say you're a Christian, fine. You go ahead and be a Christian. If you say you're this, that, or the other, go ahead and do it. But there's just one thing that we're not going to allow you to do. Don't say that there's only one God and there's only one way to God. And you see, Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And when you believe that Jesus is God and that he is the only way to the Father, the only way for us to stand before heaven, That's where the power of the state and the power of the culture, the power of society begin to squeeze us, to put us into a place of, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do it in the public sphere. You're not allowed to do it at the job or in the school. You're not allowed to do it, you could go and do it in your church, but don't bring it outside of the church. Don't offend anyone. This is what was going on in Rome. That's why these people had to suffer the way they suffered. Because they didn't believe that the emperor was a deity. They didn't believe in the so-called gods of the Roman Empire. A mix of Greek gods and Roman gods. They didn't believe in that. They believed that there was one God who had given his one son, Jesus, for the salvation of our sins. They sang it out. Salvation belongs to our God. And to the Lamb, the one who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. They declared it. And as a result of declaring it, all of the social and economic and political powers around them came after them. But here's the amazing thing. When they came after them, and they threw all the opposition they could possibly throw against them, they began to find out that there was nothing that could shake these people from their firm belief that Jesus is not only the only way to salvation, but he's the only way to peace and to joy and to righteousness in our lives. And so when they were burned and when they were stoned and when they had the economic pressure against them, they began to sing and worship the Lord. When they were put in places, they began to sing hymns, and everyone said, you know what? Maybe they really do believe in heaven. Maybe there really is a heaven. No gods of Rome or Greece have all ever convinced us that there's really a heaven. It's all speculative, but these people really believe it. That's what turned the tide for the believers. That's what caused people around them to begin to be attracted to what these people have. Because these people had something real, and all they had was an illusion. They knew it was an illusion. They knew it was fake. They knew it wasn't real. But they looked at the believers, and they thought, they've got something that's real. And people began to warm up to these believers and begin to believe in them. But I don't want to just have the perspective of the earth on the people of God. I want to have the perspective of heaven from the people of God. I want you to see this. We're doing a study on Wednesday night. I want to see how much time I have. I think I'm okay. Go to the next slide, if you would. We're doing a study on Wednesday night of the book of Romans. Is that in there? And I know you can't read that, but I got so amazed when Paul got to the last chapter. He's writing to these numerous Christians in Rome, Jewish Christians, Gentile Christians, and he's writing to them. And then, to me, surprisingly, he begins to call people out by name. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever way she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. And so if you can't read it from there, I'll read it for you, but you can write the verse down, 16:1-16. And he says, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who was approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those whose workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen of the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers who are with him. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with him. Greet one another with a holy kiss. all the churches of Christ greet you. Whew, I'm so glad I'm done with that list. All right? Because I'm sure that I mispronounced about 90% of those names. But at least I was able to say them in my own way. All right? When I read this, what I see is the people of God, by name, by individuals, matter to the Apostle Paul. He was so blessed to get to know these people. I want to bring this home to where we are. I want to introduce you to some people you probably already know. And I want to give you a feel for how special the people of God are. I can't do it with all of you, but I can do it with just a few. Every one of you have a story about your relationship with God. Every one of you have a story about who you are, how you found the Lord, how you are walking with the Lord, how you are serving the Lord. I can't introduce all of you, but I can introduce a few. I didn't let you know this before because you wouldn't have been prepared for it, but I'm going to start with the salientes. Come on. Can you stand with me so people can see you? That's all I'm going to ask you to do, okay? Just come and stand. So we'll come over here, and just so people can see you, okay? You know them, right? That's Renan and Jessica. You know they're elders in the church here, and those things you know. But I just want to find out just a few things. Come and stand so I can see the questions I want to ask. I'm going to start with you, Renan. No, I told you all you have to do is stand here. I forgot. I'm going to ask you questions, okay? But you can just answer them. It's all about your life, so I don't think I'm putting you on the spot. Where are you from?
From the Philippines.
Did anyone know that? All right, from the Philippines. Most of you knew that, right? What is your profession? By trade, what is your profession?
I'm an accountant.
Accountant. All right. And then Jessica, what is your profession?
I'm a chemist.
Did you know that? How many of you knew that? An accountant and a chemist. Did you know that? That's some news to maybe some of you. Some of you might have known it. Some of you didn't know it. And then let's find out, where do you work now here in the U.S.?
Embassy of India.
How many of you knew that? Embassy of India. Did you know that? All right, and then Jessica, Pastor Jess and Pastor Renan, but I'm just going to say Jess and Renan. Here we go. You're right. Where do you work now?
Work for a Jewish family as a babysitter.
Okay, you're a chemist, and you're working as a babysitter here. Do you get how immigration works? You got to start all over when you go to another country, right? You don't always get a chance to work in the field that you have your degrees in and your career. And I love immigration stories. And it's amazing to me to experience this and watch you guys immigrate. It's amazing. And then what do you do now? What is your job at the Embassy of India?
I drive for the ambassador.
All right, you're driving. Do you do any accounting while you're driving?
No.
No. You don't even count, like, how many miles to the next place?
I do.
All right, that's all the accounting he gets to do in his new family business. Whose birthday is today? Your family.
Carl's and Kay's.
All right, those are two kids. How many kids do you have total?
Three.
Did any of you know that? All right, now watch this. Are your kids smart?
They are.
Do they get, like, A's and stuff mostly in school?
I can say yes.
Yes. Yes. Are they developing their careers?
Yes.
Do they love Jesus?
Too much.
Hallelujah. Hey, don't you love the people of God? Don't you love the people of God? I want to ask you something. How have you served the Lord at the Indian Embassy? Can I tell this one? Can I tell this one? Renan brought me, fourth guy at the Indian Embassy, third guy. Was dying. And Renan asked them, can we pray for you? Can my pastor come? And we led him and his family to the Lord on his deathbed, around his bed. That's how this man is serving the Lord. Shining a light there at the Indian Embassy. Having experiences like that. Has the ambassador been to church here?
Yes, when I invited her for Kay's graduation.
So the ambassador of India has been to church and met a whole bunch of believers in Jesus. Do you know, if Renan weren't working there, if he was an accounting firm, he might be reaching other people, but God has him there to reach and share the good news with these people at the Indian Embassy. Don't you love God's people? Wherever they are, it's God's people. I want to ask you, Jess, where's, I saw her go up. I think she is not feeling well. I want to ask you, how many of you ladies, either through Jessica herself or somebody that Jessica met through caring for children, how many of you care for children and work in homes? Filipinas, okay? Raise your hand. You work in homes, you care for children, okay? How many of you came to the Lord as a result of Jessica bringing people like Shirley to the Lord and others to the Lord? Raise your hand if you've come to the Lord. Look at that. And there are many others. Isn't that awesome? Do you see that? Do you love the people of God? And by the way, there could be another whole row. Not everyone's here today, okay? Some are visiting. But the point is that we are seeing the work of God, okay? Can we love them as, you know? Thanks, guys. Thank you. I want to go Gary, real quick. Gary, Vinny, and Elias. Come here, guys. Gary, Vinny, and Elias, all right? Where's Vinicius, Elias, and Gary, okay? Susan, home, not here, not feeling well, okay? So everyone pray for Susan. She's not feeling well today. Pray for Susan, okay? You can do that as they're walking up here, all right? Gary here first, if you would. Hey, bro. Hey, Elias. I'm Dave. Nice to meet you. Hey, Vinny. Hey, Gary. Good to see you, man. Gary, what do you do? You and your wife, tell us what you do.
Well, we have relationships with people, mostly people from Muslim background. Invite them to our house. I teach ESL also to Muslims mostly. And we're retired. I'm a retired teacher and walk wherever God tells me to walk, like basically.
You're a retired teacher. Your wife homeschooled all the kids. So she's retired from that. She's finished with that. And now, would you say you could be classified as missionaries?
She wouldn't like that word, so I'm not going to classify us.
All right. So my classification, and these are missionaries. And have any people come to the Lord through this ministry that you're a part of from the Muslim background, come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior?
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Don't you love God's people? Isn't that awesome? And then Elias, just real quick, you'll know why they're here together in a minute. There's an interesting reason why they're here together, but we'll hold that off. Elias, where are you from? I'll go right here. Yeah,
I'm from Kyrgyzstan.
Where's Kyrgyzstan?
It's Central Asia. It's former USSR Republic.
Okay. And why are you here in the United States?
I was here with my family and also for school.
Okay. And have you come to know Jesus?
Yes.
When?
Here in the U.S. At the end of 2011.
Don't you love the people of God? All right. And so when you're going back to Kyrgyzstan, you're going back with Jesus, right? So you'll be okay because you'll be with Jesus. And the future is with Jesus. And then also you have Jesus to share with friends and other people there. So praise God. Amen. Do you have any family that's here in the church this morning?
Yes, my mom and my sister.
Are they sweet and precious? Are they?
Too sweet.
Too sweet. Too sweet. And where's mom? Raise your hand, mom. Chinata. That's Chinata, right there. And that's Camila. Raise your hand. Do you know in the country where they're from, it's not approved. I'm just going to say it that way. It's not approved to follow Jesus. And yet they know Jesus. Don't you love the people of God? And then let me get over here. Name, please.
Vinicius.
Last name, too.
Faleiros.
Can you all say that? Okay. I know Luana can, right? And from where?
Brazil.
Brazil. How are they doing in the World Cup?
Wow. So far, good.
They're winning. They're just winning, 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 right? And you're doing what in the U.S.?
I was studying. I just finished studying. And now I'm starting a time of professional experience.
And is there a possibility that God might have in his plan to keep you here or what? Do you have any sense of, like, are we still going to be together on this earth, or do we have to wait till heaven? What do you think? I mean, well, I'm putting you on the spot with that. How do you know? But, like, are you open to that? Let me say that.
Yes. I see that God has been moving things in a certain way that I believe is pointing that I should keep working and doing ministry in the U.S. Not sure for how long, but it might be for life. Yeah.
And maybe D.C.?
Well, what I have in my heart, if it's the U.S., it should be D.C., yeah.
All right. Here's the deal. I knew all that, but I wanted to know if he felt free sharing that with you at this point because it's God's leading. The reality is if he goes back to Brazil by the plan of God, it's going to be awesome. If he stays in the U.S. somewhere else, it's going to be awesome. But I'm hoping that God keeps him right here in D.C. Is that okay to express my own human desire, right? And so why do I have you guys here? Vinny, you tell us. Why do I have the three of you here together? Can you guess?
I think it is because we went camping together.
You went what?
Camping.
Camping?
Yeah, camping.
Like you went to you have like an RV or something? Recreational vehicle? What is an RV? You went in a tent?
Yeah, we took those guys' regular sedans. Okay, but right. we had tents and we had all the gear and... Yeah, and then we went to a camp right in front of the Potomac River, and it was super nice, yeah.
Is that awesome? Don't you love the people of God? These three guys went camping. There's Dad, there's Uncle Vinny, and there's young Elias right there, right? And they went camping together, and they said when they came out, there was a tree, and it was filled with lightning bugs. Right? And they were all lighting up. And he said it was like a God-made Christmas tree. The whole tree was sparkling. And they were and instead of going, oh, that's cool, they're like, isn't God awesome? Right? And then they got there and they brought out their guitar and by the beautiful river, they FaceTimed me and they showed me the river behind them and they showed me the beautiful scenery around them. And they talked about how they were worshiping God, praying together. Don't you love the people of God? All right, you guys are done, all right? All right, give them a hand, can you? Serving God. All right, I'm not done, but I'm going to go quick. Oh, look at their picture. That's it. Look at that. Notice there's only one guy not wearing a hat. The only guy whose head is naturally protected from the sun, okay? Let's go to the next slide. Yesterday, I love this lady in the middle. I know you do. She became a member about a year ago of this church. And the more I get to know her, come here, Wanda, come here. I want you to see this. Wanda is an amazing lady. She retired. I forget when she retired, but she retired after 33 years working for the company Amtrak. Computer stuff. All kinds of things, you know, the technical stuff, the administrative stuff, all those things. As an overseer, doing all this amazing stuff, retired. But all this time, she's been serving the Lord, involved in church life. And the Lord moved her here. She lives right around the road here and moved her here. And as a result of it, stand up, Susan Dres, if you would stand up, Susan Dres. Susan does ministry in senior centers. That's where she goes and loves on people and shares the good news. The way that she was able to go to Friendship Terrace was because Wanda had moved there at a retirement place and moved there and was able, and they've partnered. And there's how many people would come on Sunday nights? 15, 20 people, and they're worshiping the Lord, praying, and they're sharing the good news of people. Don't you love the people of God? You also don't know, you got to get to know her. She has two sons that are gone from this life already. Sons. I know from my parents' experience, for a parent, there's nothing harder than to have to not have your kids have your funeral, but you'd have your kids' funeral. But this lady has relied upon the grace of God. And everything that's come her way, the Lord has turned it around for good. And she's been serving the Lord. And yesterday, Carol and I, we're in Rock Creek Park, and we were there walking and stopping and looking in each other's eyes, and she was looking at me saying, oh, I can't believe how amazing my husband is. And she was enjoying my presence so much and just totally enamored with me. No, I'm kidding. It was the other way around. I'm looking at her going, wow, you're amazing. And so we're out there enjoying each other, and we're not done with our conversation. So instead of being out there without the car, we took the car and started driving around to finish our conversation. And now I know that God directed the car somehow, because we drove by, and there's Wanda. And I said, Carol, I think that's Wanda. And then we stopped and went, it is Wanda, you know. And she was thinking, I think that's Pastor Dave's head. And then she's like, it is Pastor Dave's head. And so she sees me, sees, you know, from her car to where I was in my car, and we stop, and it was like, Wanda, hi, Pastor Dave, Carol. And so we stop, and I find out that the reason why she's in the park is because she's being appreciated for 19 years as the president of an association here in this city for the disabled. 19 years has served in that capacity. And these are her kids. These are her kids. And I said, Wanda, I got to get a picture of you. Don't you love the people of God? This lady loves God. She loves the Word. She loves worship. She expresses it among the disabled children there. She expresses it. By the way, they might be disabled in some ways, but when you get to know them, they are able in other ways that some of us could call our own disability. That's amazing. But the reality is, they're beautiful. And she served there. She serves with children. Where were we Monday night? Where were we Monday night?
Oh, Project Bridges.
And who was there? You, me, and who else from this church?
Paulo.
And what was the topic?
Oh, I forgot. But it was about children. Yeah, it has to do with the children's. I forget the name of it, but the Good News Club.
Exactly.
It's talking about the Good News Club. Yeah.
And did you like what you heard?
Absolutely. It was an answer to prayer. Yes.
Why is it an answer to prayer? I want people to hear this.
Okay, because I've been working with a entrepreneurship class that I want to have in the public schools. And one of the things that we learned is that you can do that in the public schools because it is a faith-based curriculum. Most public schools wouldn't allow it, but because of the work with child evangelism, that's what's the name of it, child evangelism, they have it that you can go in as a club in any public school because of the Supreme Court ruling that you can go in. And so with that,
I think in 2007 or something.
Yeah, something like that. So with that, that gives me, the knowledge that we can go in as a club and have this curriculum taught in the public school.
So you actually expect to do that?
I do.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Wanda. Thank you. She's not done yet, folks. She's not done yet. She's going to go and start a club for Jesus for children in a public school. Don't you love the people of God? I want you to look around you. Just look at the people of God and say, man, y'all are amazing. You're the people of God. You're special to God. God loves you enough to give his own son for you. God loves you enough to say, I want you in heaven forever. I'm going to do these real quick. Wanda and Laura, just where you are, just stand if you would. Wanda and Laura, just stand where you are. Wanda, I'm sorry, Winnie. Winnie, that's Wanda right there. They became members together, so I always used to say Winnie, Wanda, and there was another W. I forget which one. So I got them all mixed up. Winnie, you work at the United Arab Emirates. You're in the health field. You're helping people from around the world come and get health care in the U.S. Just the UAE, and you love your job, but that's not enough for you, is it? You go on Saturday nights down to the harbor here in Georgetown, and you just share with sometimes 30 people in a night. Last night, share with 5 Jordanian diplomats about Jesus. And does it because she speaks Arabic, being from Egypt, and with a British accent, being from the UK, and then as an American here, just an international person. Winnie, you need people. You need people. I'm going to stress that in a minute, okay? You want people to be there. You don't want to be alone down there, right? And Winnie, I honor you. I respect so much who you are, what kind of life you live before God. And it's amazing that you have a twin sister that's just like you. It's amazing. Laura, you're my own little personal prophet. God speaks to you regularly, and you give me emails. You did it about my sister, Cheryl. I can't tell you what that meant to me. I can't tell you what that meant to me. And the way you pray for me, and then the way you go every day and stock the restrooms after Ahavat is here, and the way you go and clean up the stuff, you're an amazing, beautiful person of God. You're the people of God. And I thank you for being the people of God. Don't you love the people of God? I got one more. I'm coming your way. I want this handsome couple to stand up, okay? Now you might be good looking, all right? But there's levels, okay, of good looking. And this couple, right? They're the couple on the wedding cake. And if they stand, you'll see what I mean. Go ahead, Ugo. Go ahead. Stand up. Show off how handsome God made you and how beautiful your wife is. All right. They're going, I love the people of God, but this particular person of God is driving me crazy right now. And I'm picking on them. Monday passed. They moved into their new home here in D.C. They've been trusting God. They have such a beautiful relationship with each other. They're in love with each other. And yet, because of their job, their career track, they haven't been able to be together week after week. She goes there, he goes here. In some ways, they wound up spending more time because of its concentrated time than maybe couples who are together all the time. I don't know, but they want to be together, probably at the end of the year, because now the home is here. Ugo's going to be transitioning to D.C. But when I went into that home, and just a beautiful home, out of the apartment where they came, and then into the home where they were, I went into that home, I saw the blessing of God. And then I found out something, that before all their stuff was moved in, they had already practiced the Bible's way of taking care of your home, and that is hospitality. And even before they had all their stuff delivered and all their stuff unpacked, Ethleen said, we have students coming from Angola. Would you allow them to stay with you? And they were staying there. So even before their stuff was in, not only were they in their beautiful home, but some others of the people of God were in their beautiful home. And I'm telling you, you felt the blessing of God. When I heard the story of how God, in every detail, finance stuff, all those things, location, everything, it was above and beyond anything that they could have asked for or expected. It's a blessing from God, the way that they're there and the way economically it all worked out. Maybe they'll tell you all the details if they get a chance, but the reality is it's a blessing of God. When I look at them, I see the people of God, and I see the blessing that they have for the people of God. So as an economist and an engineer, they're using their talents to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Thanks, Hugo. Thanks, Luana. We love you guys. Now here's, you say, well, what is this? Is this just for us to just, you know, just hear how nice people are in God? Well, if that's all the point is, that's a good enough point, right? That's enough. I could go on and talk to you about how amazing it is to hear YWAM's prayers in this building and to know that they're the first fruits of the calling that God gave us to become a Christian center and to partner with the body of Christ. I don't know how long they're going to be here, but for as long as they're going to be here, they're just the people we want here because they're discipling people and praying. There's beautiful things going on with Ahavat, the Messianic Church that's here on Saturday. All of these people are here serving the Lord. So here's the point that I want to make. If God sees people that follow him and trust him to be in their lives, to wash them with his blood, and to give them white robes, palm branches, to worship God. And if God brings those people right front and center before his throne, if God says, I'm going to care for the people who follow me in obedience, I'm going to care for the people who are willing to lay their lives down for me, if God treats his people that way, how do you think it would be good for you to treat God's people? And aside from the glory of God that is represented by all of you sitting here, those of you who have been named this morning with standing up and told a little bit about your story, and those of you who haven't, aside from the glory of God in your life and the work of God in your life, this is the point I want to leave with you. If God is making sure that his people are rewarded, protected, guided, provided for, fed, nourished, how should you be responding to the people of God? Can we go to that slide? How to respond to the revelation of God's people. And I want to say this, if God cares for his people, then if we're God's people and we're among each other, then we should care for God's people. You know, the more I get to know people here, the more I want to be faithful to pray for them. The more I get to know them, the more I'm amazed at who they are and what's going on in their lives and what God is doing in their lives and what they're doing for God. And I want to be their number one cheerleader. I want to serve them. I want to support them. And I think that's the right response of every one of us. So I want to suggest to you, if you are excited about the people of God, then care for them. And I gave you four ways that you could care for them. The first way is to pray for them. Pray for them. And by the way, you can't pray for people as much as you can pray for people who you know. So not only pray for them, get to know them. When I'm on this thing throughout this year where I want to sit down with every one of you, look at you in groups and families, and look at you in the eye, and the first question I want to ask is, how can I pray for you? And you know what? Since the beginning of this year that I've been doing it, I've had more fun praying for you, because I'm not just praying for you generally, I'm praying for you specifically. I'm praying continually, God, save Luana's father. Let him get free of that addiction in the name of Jesus. It's hard to believe the kind of stuff that some of us are going through in our families. You know what we've gone through with our own children sometimes, with our own marriage sometimes. And yet when people pray and they turn to God and they pray for one another, God brings you through. Can you say amen? But you can't know what people are doing, what's going on in their lives, until you get to know them. So I'm going to encourage you, get to know one another so you can pray for one another. And then find opportunities to serve one another and also to serve with each other. If we're the amazing people of God, then find ways to serve. Goday, can you stand just for a second? Goday, can you stand right there? Somebody in this church needs to bear the burden that Goday is bearing in her heart for the Congo. Her people are being ravaged by war. Somebody needs to begin to know her and begin to regularly pray for her and her people and just say, God, help her. She's done this big event for the Congo to raise money for those people and to help them. And maybe somebody might say, I've got some resources. We can help with that. You know, Winnie, can you stay standing if you would? Winnie, you're there in if you would again, you're there serving in at the harbor. You want people to be with you. You need some people. We can serve with each other. Susan, stand, if you would, in the nursing homes. Gary, stand if you would, with the English classes. You know, you don't have to stand. Just you guys know what I'm saying. Find ways to serve along with each other. Maybe you're going to be a part of Juana's Good News Club in an elementary school here in the city. I don't know, but the way for these things to happen is to begin to pray for one another and know one another, and when we do, we'll be able to serve one another, and we'll be able to serve with each other. Now, let me just say this, and then I'm done. This fall, I'm excited, and you're going to begin to hear this. We're going to be ever more intentional about developing, giving opportunity for different people to develop communities where people can get to know each other even better, where they can study the Word together and grow in their life together as an older or younger person, single, married, etc. And you're going to hear from people about these communities that are going to be developing and will be, you know, happening this fall. And so that's going to be an opportunity for us to get to know one another and pray for one another more and serve one another. But I want to give you a way to do it right now, even before the fall. And here's my encouragement. The way that you could get to know each other better, pray for each other better, serve each other better and serve with each other better is the most streamlined and easily scheduled thing in the world. You're already coming here on Sunday. Why don't you, first of all, come here as many Sundays as you can. And if you have to travel, don't be guilty. All right? Don't feel guilty. If you can't be here for whatever reason, don't feel guilty. But start with being here as many Sundays as you can. But then here's an idea. Come before the service starts to serve in one of four areas. One is you could come and help with kids, especially this summer. Because this summer, we have many people that are school teachers who are out for the summer, and they're going, you know, home countries and travel and things. We need some extra workers for our children. That's an area where you could come in the morning earlier and say, how do I connect with kids and serve with kids? How does that happen at Embassy Church, especially this summer? But then the other way is come and be here to greet people on our hospitality team. Come early to greet people. Come early to be a part of our prayer team. Go in the prayer room. Go up in the balcony. Be here in the sanctuary while worship team is preparing. And begin to prepare the place for the presence of God and the people of God. Amen? So come and pray. Come and serve as a hospitality greeter. Help with some food stuff. Help with some greeting stuff. Help get to know people. You know, the guests usually come the earliest, you know? And so be here when they're here. Don't make them wait to be greeted later. Be here early to greet them. Amen? And then come here early to be a part of the worship team. So there's our four areas. Did I say them? Worship team, prayer team, hospitality team, and children's ministry team. I'm encouraging you to make this a priority, to love the people of God so much that you'll begin to give yourself an opportunity to get to know them more, to pray for them more, to serve them more, and to serve alongside them more. And that's the simplest way to be involved. You don't have to worry about a Tuesday right now or a Saturday or a Friday. Those things might develop. But just in the day that we're gathering together, we can gather together with a wonderful, glorious, beautiful people of God. Can you say amen? Does God care for us? Is God excited about us? Are we going to care for us? Are we going to be excited about us? Amen. Can you say amen? Lord, we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. We made it as simple as we could, Father. The way, Lord, to respond to the message of how beautiful your people are. That we can start just with a Sunday morning to be together a little more. To not come late and check out early, but to come in and spend time with each other. Come in and greet each other and pray with each other and worship together and take care of our children and our those who are up and coming. Father, we pray, God, that you would give us, Lord God, in the busyness of our lives this week, a focus, Lord, to pray, Lord, for one another, God, to give thanks for one another, to worship you for the beautiful people that you have put in this body. Lord, if you have invested so much in this body, has put such beautiful people in this body, Lord, I know that you'll give us the grace to love this body as much and serve this body as well. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we pray your blessing on everything that goes on under this roof. Bless YWAM, God. Bless the staff of YWAM. Bless the students, God. Bless Ahavat, God. Bless the preschool, God. Bless, Lord God, Embassy Church, Father. Bless us, Lord God, on Sundays. And bless us, Lord, any other time, God. Bless us, Lord God, as we gather together. Father, we ask, Lord, for your grace, God, on all of us, Lord. And we give thanks to you for your people. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen?